Amen. If you have your Bible, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 52, verse number 13, He says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astounded at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him for that which hath not been told them. Shall they see, and that which they had not heard, shall they consider." 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. The Bible says, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quiet you like men, and be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus, and for that which lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. We thank Him tonight for His goodness and His mercy. I thank Him tonight for His love for us. Without that love, we wouldn't even have a knowledge of Christ Jesus. We wouldn't know Him in the free pardon of sin, because there would be no pardon. But because Jesus Christ loved us enough, amen, He came to this old world to live a perfect sinless life as a perfect sinless Savior. He stepped out of the portals of glory and condescended down to where we are today. He said, "Well, preacher, the Lord never come to a place like we're in right now." I won't say He did. He come to the same world that we live in, you and I. And He come to a place where the world would hate Him and despise Him and would spitefully use Him. The one that they're talking about here in Isaiah chapter 52, when He says, "Behold, my servant." He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about us beholding Him and seeing Him and seeing who He is. Amen. Recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior from glory. Amen. He's that one that would be extolled. He's that one that would be that would deal prudently. He's that one that would be raised up. Amen. Praise God. He went down to the grave. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And the Bible says He rose the third day victorious over death and the grave. He rose up out of there, praise God. He was extolled. He was raised up. He was extolled. He was lifted up a little higher, praise God, than we come. I say He come up out of the grave, but praise God, He went further, way higher than the grave, praise God. He went as high as God Almighty could go, praise the Lord. You glad for that? Because Jesus Christ is God. Amen. Praise God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one and three and three and one. And I'm glad it's that way. Praise God. I'm glad that all three of them love me and you. I'm glad that we can have confidence in them when we can't have confidence in ourselves. I'm glad that they was one. Praise that come to this this old world. Praise God. And I'm glad God the Father raised Him up. I'm glad God the Father's the one extolled Him. I'm glad God the Father's the one exalted Him when He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I thank God tonight that He's well pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was satisfied with with the life that He lived when He was here. He was satisfied with the sacrificial death that He did on the cross of Calvary. He was satisfied with the Son that would hang on that cross and become sin for you and I. He was satisfied with the one that would take upon Himself the sins of the whole world. He's the one that would hang on the cross. God was satisfied with that sacrifice. When the world's sin was piled upon Him, and He was satisfied that God Almighty, Jesus Christ, stayed on the cross until the job was finished. Amen. He never quit. The Bible tells us, it teaches us, that He could have called 12 legions of angels. One angel would have been enough to have got him off. One angel would have been enough to save their Savior. But the Bible teaches that he could have called legions of angels, thousands of angels, to come to his rescue. But Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine, so that through him, praise God, when he said, "It's finished," that a work would have been complete, that would set us free from the bondage and the corruption of sin, so that you and I, praise God, could have peace and joy in our heart, that there's a Savior, that same exalted Savior, who was marred beyond recognition, whose visage, the very appearance, Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said it was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He said Jesus Christ was beaten till he was unrecognizable. Amen. Praise God. You say, "Preacher, why did Jesus do that?" He done that for you. He took that beating for you. He loved you enough, praise God, that he stayed the course. He didn't give up and he didn't give in. Ain't you glad it's that way? It's because of His stripes that you're healed. It's because of His stripes that we've been given opportunity for salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of Him, praise God, that we have an opportunity to worship Him in spirit and truth, to come to church, to lift up the name of the Lord, to praise Him and give Him glory, so that our little light can shine in the darkness of this world, so that folks can see Christ in us, that blessed hope of glory, that hope of something better, praise God, just a little further down the road. Amen. Listen, young'uns, we've got a blessed hope tonight in Christ our Savior, and we ought to be passionate out everywhere we go, telling old lost sinners. You say, "Preacher, I just don't like people much." Well, the reason we don't like them is because they're sinners. Amen. But praise God, I won't tell you on the authority of God's Word, He loves old sinners. Amen. People said, they had a fellow tell me today, said, "Preacher, God don't like sinners." No, let me tell you what God don't like. God don't like sin. Amen. I said, God don't like sin. He loves sinners. You say, "Well, preacher, that don't make no sense." Amen. He loves sinners enough that he died for sinners on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Praise God. He died for their sin. God don't like sin. God hates sin, but praise God, listen to me, He loves old sinners. You say, "How do you know He loves you?" Because when he was being beaten, when he was being spit upon, when he was being ridiculed, when he was being put down, He could have called those legions down because He loved those old sinners. Do you know Jesus loved those soldiers that was driving those old rusty spike nails into His hands and His feet? You say, "How do you know?" Because He said, "Forgive them, Lord, Father, because they know not what they do." Amen. Praise God. He says the same words to me and you tonight, to the Father, praise God. He said, "Forgive them because they know not what they do." You say, "Preacher, I wasn't one of them old, sorry, no account Romans." I won't say, yeah, me and you, we were worse because we knew about a loving, we know about a loving Savior. We know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we don't appreciate Him like we should. Amen. They didn't know who He was. They should have, but they didn't. Them old Roman soldiers. The Jews should have known. The Pharisees should have known. The Sadducees should have known. But they didn't. I mean, they rejected Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was marred, more than the one who died for our sins. Amen. But the Bible says that Jesus died for our sins so that through Him we may go free. And He tells us tonight, praise God, and it's up to us to tell people, praise God, about the same Savior. About the Savior that was the Savior of the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I read in your hearing, He gives us some words of wisdom here to live by. Amen. He gives us some things, praise God, that'll help us to take a stand in the day and hour that we live. You know, I believe God tonight wants His people to take a stand. If there's ever been time for the church to take a stand, it's the day and hour that we live in right now. As we see people coming, and a lot of folks is falling by the wayside. A lot of folks, there's a dissuasion in the world. There's a persuasion that's drawing folks out when they ought to be drawing folks in. Praise God, it's our shame that we're not seeing folks saved. It's to our shame that we're not seeing folks getting right with God. It's to our shame that we're not seeing churches loving on people, praise the Lord, and trying to encourage them in the Lord. It's to our shame. Amen. I've said many a times when somebody comes in that door and they darken the door at this church, they ought to feel loved. Amen. They ought to feel the love of God. They ought to feel like we care for them, praise God, because Jesus does. I know they may not always be comfortable when the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God gets to moving, but praise God, they ought to feel the love of God in the house of God. If we can't help people to feel the love of God in the house of God, then we're just a charade. We're make-believe. We're not the real thing. But praise God, I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, if we'll just keep our eyes upon the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, a calling that He called us into to love each other. That's why Paul would tell the Corinthians in chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, he said, "Watch ye." Now he's telling us that we need to be paying attention. He says that we need to be vigilant in the day and hour we live. Now if they needed to be vigilant back then, how much more should we be vigilant now? How much more should we be watchers for souls, that none should perish, but that they would all come to repentance? That's what God wants. God wants to see old sinners saved in this day and hour that we live. But He'd say, "Watch ye." Now that "ye" is me and you, none other than us. Amen. You can't get past that. No matter how hard we try, we can't get past it. That "watch ye," that "ye" is you. Amen. He said, "Watch you." He said, "You need to watch. You need to pay attention. You need to be vigilant right now." He said, "We need to be looking around, and we need to be looking number one at our lives. We need to be self inspectors. God wants us to be soul inspectors, and the one that we need to start out with is that one that we look in the mirror at every morning. We need to realize where we're at. We need to watch for ourselves." Ye, you, me. We need to watch for ourselves. We need to see where we are. And we need to realize where God would have us to be and work to help Him to let us get there. Amen. We can't get there by ourselves, but God will help us if we'll let Him. So He said that we need to be watching. We need to be vigilant right now. I'm telling you, we're living in the last days of this dispensation of grace. You said, "Preacher, you say that all the time. It's closer than you think." Amen. Every day we inch our way closer to the soon appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We inch our way to that glorious day when He, with a shout and a trump and a "come up hither," and we're going to go out of here. And we're seeing, I told somebody the other day, we're seeing some old saints of God as God's just a plucking them like a bouquet, just one at a time, and taking them out of our midst. Amen. And one day in a little while, He's going to pluck us out of here and take us with Him. And we need to be ready, and we need to be watching. We need to be vigilant for our own souls. We need to know where we stand with God. We need to know that we're saved. We need to know that we're doing the best we can for His glory. I've said many, many times that our last days might be our very best days for Him. Amen. We're living in a world of turmoil and confusion. Let me stop here right here and say this. There's never been a time to be a child of the King. There's never been a better time, Brother Bill, than be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these people around us, family members, that are scared to death, they're fearful of what's going to happen. They said 68% of Americans are scared to death that there's going to be a nuclear war. Amen. I told somebody today, if Russia shoots one, I hope it lands on my house. Amen. I don't want to suffer. I just want to go out with a bang, praise God, and I'll be with God in glory. Glory, hallelujah, before the morning comes. Amen. I'm not afraid of a nuclear war, praise God. I'm afraid of folks who've been lost and dying, going to hell, lost without God. Amen. They ain't got a nuclear weapon, Brother Bill, that they've ever invented or ever will invent. I don't care about their hypersonic whatever. Praise God. There's nothing they've got that can send my soul to hell. Amen.
He said, watch. He said, pay attention. Today's a Savior who loved you, praise God, enough to take everything the world had to throw at Him. And He come out victorious over death and the grave. He come out, praise God. That stone was rolled away so that they could see, glory, hallelujah, that He wasn't there. They come to the grave and they said, praise God, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's risen, praise God. He's got up and He got out, glory, hallelujah. And I want to say, as a children of God, if we'll just watch, you and me, praise God, we can rise up just like He did in victorious glory, hallelujah, over death and grave with a blessed hope that's out of this world. Amen. He's better things ahead for a child of King. But He said we need to pay attention, need to watch. We, you and I, need to pay attention. He said that way, He said, we can stand fast in the faith. Amen. He said, preacher, what do we got to stand on? We got to stand on our faith. On our faith, and not in this world, not in the things we have, not in our military expertise, not in the knowledge of our leaders. We need to stand fast in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on Him. Amen. He's the only one. The precious Lamb of God. The Messiah of God. All this talk of war and rumors of war. The Bible said something, Matthew chapter 24, about that. I believe it wasn't there, but Matthew chapter 24. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. Amen. He said these would be the beginning of sorrows. I read an article yesterday. It's talking about, said one of the great rabbis of the nation of Israel. He was a great scholar of the Talmud, the Israeli Bible. And he said that the Bible teaches that when these great ones go out, that as they're going out and the numbers of these great Israeli Bible scholars is taken out of here, that it brings us closer and closer to the glorious appearing of Messiah. There was two of them, them old Bible scholars, Brother Bill, this week that went out of here. Amen. Now I hope within hope, praise God, that they were trusting in the Messiah, in the Lord, in the true and living Messiah to come back. Amen. I hope they were. What do you say? I hope they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saved. But they said that when these things begin to come back, he said that Messiah is nigh, even at the door. And when the Jew begins to look at that, now we know that Israel is the time clock of God. That in 1948, when they become a nation again, that God Almighty began to mark, He started that time clock a ticking again. Amen? And we see that it's progressing, and it's almost like it's speeding up. And it's escalating, and it's getting faster and faster as we go. I remember one time as a young kid, I was about 15, I guess. Grandpa Young told me, he said, son, as you get older, time goes by faster. I was 15. I was looking forward to getting to be 16, John, so I could get my driver's license. And I thought from the time of 15 to the time of 16 was the longest year of my life. Amen. Couldn't wait to get behind that wheel. Amen. So that year just barely trickled by day, hour by hour. It seemed like an eternity. But then I turned 16, I got my driver's license, I got me a job to help pay for a car, and I woke up the next day and I was 32 years old. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. He said, that's the way it goes. But he said, if we'll stand in our faith, praise God, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that the time that we have, amen, is valuable to Him, redeeming it, because days are evil, because men's evil reports are coming up, and they're not good at all, but there's God of heaven. I said, if we'll just watch, and we'll stand in the faith, and stand as faithful people. Jesus said in that Luke 18, He asked a question. He said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? I find faith. He's not talking about saved and born again. He's talking about faithful people. Amen. Those people that's about the work of the Lord. Amen. So he said, watch and stand fast in the faith. And he said, quiet you like men. Amen. In other words, he said, I hear that word quiet means to act. He said, we need to act like men.
Amen. He said we need to watch and we need to be strong in the faith. He said we need to have strength of men. He said, quiet you like men, act like men. He said, and be strong. You say, how do we get strength today? Where does our strength come from? Our strength lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a well of strength, praise God, that most of us have never tapped into, praise God. It's a well that we can go to that has an artesian well that springs up in the life, praise God, that comes out of the Lord Jesus Christ to us who believe. Amen. So he said, if we'll just watch and have stand strong in the faith, praise God, and just act like men, act like people that love the Lord, act like people of faith. Hello? Act like people of faith, like we have faith. He said, be strong. He said, that empowering of God should be in our life. Amen. When people's coming around, when our loved ones, when folks is coming around and they have this old mully grub attitude and, this old, attitude of just how terrible everything is and nothing's going to ever get better. We ought to have an attitude, praise God, say, oh, wait a minute. I've read the last chapter in the book, praise God. Hey, it's going to get a whole lot better further on. Amen. It's going to get better, praise God, when in the presence of the Lord. It's going to get better because of our faith. It's going to get better because of what we believe. That's where we come alongside and begin to help others along the way. The power that we have trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ makes a difference in us. And when we have a difference in us, it makes a difference in those that's around us. Let me just say this this evening. If you live, work, and breathe around others and you can't make a difference in them somehow, then something's missing. Amen. God help us. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to be making a difference. Need to be a difference in our life so they can be a difference in others. That's why he would go on in verse 14. He said, let all your things be done with charity. Amen. That's love in action. You know why we're not seeing a great move of God like we ought to? Because there's no love of God in us like you ought to be. Amen. We ought to be seeing. He said, let all your things be done with charity. He said, we got everything that we do, we got to try to do it in a loving manner. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, praise God. He suffered everything that I read in your hearing out of Isaiah 52. He done it out of a loving spirit. Amen. And because of his loving spirit, praise God, he was able to save us from the guttermost to the uttermost. To bring us out, praise God. That's love. It was love, Brother Robert, that saved us. It was love, praise God, that held him on the cross of Calvary. It was love, praise God, that resurrected him on that first Sunday morning, praise God. It was love, praise God, that lifted him up and carried him to set it to the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and me. It was love. It's love done that. And he said, we ought to have that. He said, we need to watch. We need to have strength. We need to have faith, praise God. And we need to trust in the Lord. We need to be strong in Christ. Just let everything that we do be done in love. In charity. Love in action, praise God. Putting forth love. Amen. I know some people it's hard to love. Amen. There's just some people, Brother Bill. There's just some people. It's hard to love. Oh, you're easy to love. Amen. You're just like a big old teddy bear. Everybody loves teddy bear. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there's some people just hard to love. Amen. Because of the way they live, the way they act, the way they react. But we're not supposed to love the way they are and the way they act. We're supposed to love that person in spite of how they act. In spite of how they react. Now we're getting to where the rubber hits the road. Amen. I pray God. Get to where he said, let all the things do, everything that we do be done in love. Let us talk to them and convey to them the love of Jesus Christ. Pray, that they can see Christ in us. They can have that love, praise God, that they see in our hearts. If we have it. Do you have the love of God in your heart? Amen. I hope so. Praise the Lord. If not, you're not his. Amen. It may be time to check up. He'd say, watch ye. You better check up. Stand in the faith. Be strong. Show charity. Love each other. Amen. He goes on, he says this way, Paul does in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, he said, that's the beginning, praise God, of that sacrifice of love that they had for others. That was that sacrificial love that they had saw in Jesus Christ, their Savior. And because they saw it in Him, praise God, they was able to convey it to others. If we could ever see Christ for who He is, if we could ever recognize how much He loved us, how much He loves us, and how much He's going to love us, amen, we'd be different people. And we'd have a different witness. We'd have that first love, those first fruits, like He had at Stephanus' house. But now listen to what it says here. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. He said, these people, amen. He said they've loved each other. He said they're the first fruits of love. And he said they've become addicted. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of who?
The saints.
The saints. Amen. He said they've got addicted to help, to being a minister to the saints. Amen. What is he talking about? He said, I mentioned this the other night, I believe Wednesday night. They said they had a helps ministry. I told somebody the other day, the God has put us into helps ministries. The ministry of trying to help people, trying to encourage others, praise God, along the way. And we need to be part of that help ministry. We need to be part of that, praise God, willing to help where we can. That's what I love so much about this church. We're a church of helps ministries. If we find out that somebody needs something, we jump in, praise God, and try to take up some space, try to help them out, try to encourage them along the way. And he said they was addicted. They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Amen. They had addicted themselves. In other words, praise God, they weren't forced to be ministers to the saints. Hello? But he said they had addicted themselves. They got addicted, praise God, to just being able to help somebody. God help us, youngins, that we would be addicted to just helping somebody. Helping where we can, praise God, that God would get the glory. We don't do it so that people would say, well, boy, look what I did. We do it, praise God, that God would get the glory. And He'd say, glory, hallelujah, that's one of my little youngins, and they just love it on each other. Amen. Helping each other. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. He said they had addicted themselves. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Verse 16 said, that ye submit yourselves unto such. Now, whoa. He said, we've got some people that's addicted to being a help to each other. Amen. He said, they just plumb sold out. It's the whole goal is to help where they can. And he said, it's that you submit yourselves unto such. He said, hey, praise God. He said, just get in on some of that. That you'll just submit yourself to those that's just addicted to being a help. Amen. You know what happens when you get to trying to be a help and not a hindrance? The negativity goes out the door. Amen. The pooch mouth, praise God, it goes out the window. Things begin to get prettier and clearer and brighter in the house of God. The things begin to look better in the heart of God's people. We begin to get excited about what God's done. But he said, so that you submit yourself unto such. Unto those, praise God, that's excited, that's addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. To helping out where we can. It's a blessing to be a help, ain't it? And it's such a wonderful feeling, praise God, to just do it because you can. Not because we have to. I mean, hey, listen, you can hide out, you can make yourself busy, you can ignore things like it's not really happening, but it doesn't change anything. But praise God, when you just step up and throw your hand up and say, Lord, send me. Lord, help me. Let me be a help to somebody. Amen. It's an addiction. It feels so good, praise God, that when you do it, then you want to do it again. And you want to do it again. And you want to do it again. And you want to tell somebody about Jesus. You want to get them a little bit closer to the Lord. You want them to know who He is. Praise God. You want to know what you got down in your heart. And you want to pass it out in a liberal fashion. And it just becomes an addiction. You can't help it. And you take somebody that used to be real quiet and wouldn't say nothing, never wanted to, and never wanted to give a book report or anything else, and all of a sudden your mouth flies open, you don't shut up. Somebody told me at the end of the business meeting, I got to the end, didn't have nothing else to say, and everybody's real quiet, and I couldn't stand it. I just kept rambling on. Somebody said, well, you just can't hush, can you? Amen. No, I can't. Praise God. God put something in me. You just not be there. Glory, hallelujah. And I just got to tell it wherever I go. Amen. Praise God. But it's good to say something that's worthwhile. And I'll tell you, the what's worthwhile is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that you submit yourself to unto such, those that's addicted to being helpers. He said, to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. He said, those that's willing to get out and do hard work. Amen. A fellow said one time, said he loved hard work. He could sit and watch it all day long. Amen. He sat right down beside it. Amen. I told Brother Junior yesterday, he's sitting on a chair operating that handle on that wood splitter. Boy, he was doing a good job at it. I said, boy, you're wearing me out. Amen. Praise God. In and back out. Praise God. He's working that thing. But he's getting the job done. Praise the Lord. He's doing what he could, praise God, for God's glory. And that, he was making things happen. And you say, well, preacher, that wasn't a whole lot. Praise God, it was a whole lot. Amen. It was a help. Amen. Don't ever take for granted some little something that somebody can do, praise God, when we're doing it for the glory of God. We weren't doing anything to get praise of men. We were doing what we do, praise God, that God would get the glory. Trying to be a help, amen, along the way. And God honors that. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that we need workers. We need helpers. We need somebody to come alongside, praise God, and just be a helpmeet to us. Amen. And he said, everyone helpeth with us and laboreth. He said, it's all part of the job. It's all part of getting the work done. Amen. So Paul's will tell me, I'm going to hurry and hush. I know a lot of you have been here for a while. Amen. But he said, when it comes down to it, praise God, he said, it's just about people coming together for God's glory, realizing what Christ Jesus has took for us, what he went through for us, praise God, and just being willing to do whatever we need to that he'd get glory out of our lives. Amen. That God could use us. And he said, Paul said, I'm glad of the coming of these fellows. Stephanus and Fortunus and Accius. He said, well, that which was lacking on your part, they supplied. Now, listen to what he said. The Corinthians said, hey, listen, say, was some things that was needful that wasn't, that needs that weren't being met. But praise God, who knew? But here come these three fellas be bopping along from the Lord, praise God, and they had just exactly what we needed. That's just the way it works. Amen. I've said many a time, we come up here to have work days, and sometimes we come along and the stuff comes up and we have a need, but we don't have it. But usually somebody in a pickup truck or a car somewhere has got something that'll work. Amen. We got up here yesterday and we had the traffic stops to go down, and we had the stops to go in. But we didn't have a hammer to drive them with. Amen. But we got to looking around, and in the back of a Brother Bobby's pickup truck, it was a sledgehammer. Amen. It was a little rough for wear. I think he uses his about like I do mine. He hits a lick here and misses a lick there. Amen. You could tell by the handle. But praise God, it was there. God had provided it. Amen. But that's what God does. If we make ourselves available, we show up, amen, on the scene. God Almighty has something that He can use that you have. And that's what He's saying. So Jesus come, He brought us everything that we had, necessities. And Paul said, hey, listen, for that you lacked in my care to the Corinthians, he said, these fellas come along and they had it. Just happened by chance to be able to take it. Amen. Just happened to have the what he would need, praise God, for that situation. He said, they have supplied. He said, you're lack for me. He said, they had supplied. They were there to fulfill. And he said, you know what that does? What happens when that takes place? He said, praise God, there's a refreshing from the Lord. It gets you excited. Amen. You can't help it. He said, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. It don't take a whole lot just to encourage somebody. Just a little thoughtfulness. Let them know that a little charity in action. Let them know that you love them and you care for them. That you're there to help them. And it makes all the difference in the world. It don't go unnoticed. People remember that. And somewhere down the line, man, you may get in a bind, you may need something. And that person will hear about it and they'll say, you know what, praise the Lord, I'm going to go help them. I'm going to return the favor. Not that they feel obliged to, but it's a privilege that they get to. Amen. Paul was saying if we'll watch and we'll stand faithful, and God will make us opportunities to help somebody along the way. And maybe even lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ in the end. That they'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. He said, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Or in other words, those that are of this kind, those that are willing to just be a help where God would put them to help at. Amen. God could use their lives and God could get glory out of what they do. Amen. That's what it's about. That's what being a child of God is. Just making yourself available. Said in the beginning, Jesus Christ, He come to earth, He presented Himself a living sacrifice. Amen. He come to this world, took on the form and fashion of a man, and offered Himself a sacrifice unto the Lord, a sacrifice for sins. That's what He did. He provided Himself a lamb, Himself as a lamb, and God used Him, amen, for His glory. That God could forgive our sins according to the Scriptures. That through Him we can have a refreshing in our spirit from the Lord because of what God has done for us. Amen.